Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' Game 2 win over the Blazers at Oracle Arena, with the Warriors up now 2-0 on Portland, and you'll hear post-game reaction from players and head coach Steve Kerr. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament, that was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
What an incredible game, Ray. Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals as the Warriors win it. They come from behind. They were down by 17 at one point, down by 15 at the half. They go on a 14-3 run there at the end of the game, and they get the steal from Andre Iguodala that clinches it. This team just knows how to win in the clutch. Even without Kevin Durant, they're getting it done right now. And, man, that was just thrilling at Oracle Arena. And, you know, in the end, pretty surprising because it just looked like that was going to be the Blazers game. And Steve Kerr really did put it best by saying the Warriors stole that one on the game two there at Oracle Arena on Thursday.
Yeah, they literally stole it at the end. A great play by Iguodala, a risky play. As he mentioned post-game, he didn't think it was that good of a play because you do run the risk of a foul there when you start reaching in. Now, he had a foul to give. You just don't want to have it in the shooting motion because then he can shoot three free throws to tie the game. I guess Lillard was saying there was some contact by Iguodala, but what I saw in the replay was Lillard was shutting off with his right forearm. So, I don't know, that's... It's like the Sharks game that ended in controversy, right?
I mean, right.
There's going to be a couple of points of view on that, but just from my point of view, it was a good call by the referees to just let him play. But, you know, Iguodala is the master of stripping the basketball, and he showed that there, and he runs down the hallway to a waiting Kevin Durant at the doorway of the locker room and says, "These bleepers are crazy," staring at his hands. I mean, those hands have been a big part of his career and why he may soon be in the Hall of Fame, and why he's worth the contract that the Warriors gave him, and why they thought when they re-upped him that they had to pay him, they had to sign him, and they had to, you know, handle him the way they have, where they go through full play during the regular season, but he's there during this postseason, and how valuable is he now with Kevin Durant out?
Yeah, very valuable, and you bring up a good point about that last play because, you know, they did have a foul to give where they got it down to 10 seconds. I thought that was important the way they gave that foul because it didn't give the Blazers a whole lot of time to make a play there. And then if you foul him and he, you know, at that point they were in the bonus, and if he goes to the line, well, then it's going to be two free throws if it's not in the act of shooting, and Warriors are up by three. So I was thinking, you know, this looks like it's a good move the way he was, you know, smothering him. But yeah, I mean, if Lillard looks like he's going to be getting up a shot, then all of a sudden it's a terrible move because he's fouled in the act of shooting, and then it's three free throws. So there was a lot going on in that play that could have gone against the Warriors.
Yeah, and if it's within 40 feet, Lillard can shoot. We know that. He will shoot. So you have to be mindful of that. But Iguodala actually reached in and poked the ball while Lillard was still on the dribble out near the logo, about 40 feet away. So that was about the time to do it. I just felt like in that situation, you're up, hey, you do have a foul to give, even if you're in the bonus, because even though there was the bonus, you know, if you're up by three and you have a guy going to line for two free throws, it's not a bad move in a lot of cases, depending on how much time there is left on the clock. But be that as it may, it was a great defensive play by Iguodala. But I really felt like this was two games, Joe. I mean, there was the first half where, as they often do at home, including in the postseason a couple of times, they just come out without the requisite energy. They're kind of sleepwalking. And you knew Portland was going to approach game two with a lot more energy than they did in game one. That one was kind of set up for them to lose. And, you know, be that as it may, they were only down by six in the fourth quarter. The Warriors had the closing speed as they did in game two. But you knew that the Blazers were going to have more energy in game two. They did. They played much better defensively. But the Warriors came out with a whole lot better energy in the second half. And I think one key was they started Looney at center to begin the third quarter. And that made a big difference. You know, he had a couple of lob buckets. He had a couple of defensive rebounds, a couple of offensive rebounds. I think he threw in a block shot there as well. I mean, he was all over the place, as he has been in this postseason. I mean, they're not where they're at right now in the Western Conference Finals without Kevon Looney. I thought he was a big key. And, you know, down the stretch, what can you say about Draymond Green? I threw out the Twitter question last night. You know, has anybody left that questions Draymond's value? I can't imagine there is, unless you're living in a yurt in Kazakhstan. And actually, that may be unfair to people who are yurt dwellers in Kazakhstan. They probably know, too. They're Hoops fans all over the world. Just what Draymond Green means to this team. And his defensive presence was unbelievable in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the Warriors show that when they need it, that defensive lockdown mentality is still there. As I've said many times, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. They know. They still know. They have that at their disposal. And I think that counts for some of the sleepwalking tendencies they have from time to time. But they know even if they're down by 15 at the half, they can bring it back. And that's exactly what they did in the third quarter. You know, it was very interesting at the end of the game. You had four pick-and-roll plays involving Steph and Draymond that sealed the deal. If you go back and look at the tape, and they were trying to trap Curry, as I thought they would, with the more active bigs and other players. And, you know, that was effective to a point. But at the end, they're trying to trap him, and you keep on doing that, and Steph's going to figure it out, as he did against the Rockets. And he and Draymond had a good two-man game going. At one point, there was a bounce pass to a wide-open Iguodala for a dunk. And by the way, Iguodala did not have a great game, but obviously that play at the end, a great sense of timing.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Your air conditioning system is a vital part of keeping your home a comfortable, happy, healthy place to be. A new or existing system is an important investment and will play a key role in your home energy expenses for years to come. Commercial and industrial customers also recognize Enviro's standards for excellence, which includes prompt and professional service. Enviro is known for its integrity and quality HVAC products and services. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Let's hear what Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had to say after the Game 2 win.
I thought they outplayed us for much of the night, the majority of the night. But, you know, we brought enough competitive fire in the second half to overcome, you know, their great play. And we've been here before. I think our experience helped us. We've done this a few times, we stole it for sure. They outplayed us.
Here's a little bit from Steph Curry after the game on Thursday.
Starting the fourth quarter, I think it was tied, and they were up eight at some point. Never losing our composure. I understand we could get some stops, create some good open looks, and get right back into the game. Obviously, we don't want to be in that position, and yeah, every game's different. You just got to find a way to win, and that's what we did. So winning plays, everybody contributed. Like the last five that was out there, you know, Clay playing great defense, Looney taking on that one-on-one challenge with CJ, obviously Andre strip at the end, you know, Draymond finding Looney for the lob and finishing at the rim. Everybody, you know, contributed, so very exciting way to win. We got to play better in the first half for sure.
Klay Thompson also talked to the media.
I mean, 8 for 22 is not the best percentage, but I'm happy with the looks I got all night. Easy could have been 11 for 22, miss a few easy layups, a couple jumpers, but you can never lose confidence. And that's the reason why, because all it takes is one or two shots to get going, and luckily I made them in a timely fashion because we needed to, you know, hit a couple three balls down to spread the court.
Here's Draymond Green post-game.
I mean, it's special, you know, to be able to play for a fourth championship in 5 years, to be able to possibly three-peat. You know, it's a special time and one that, you know, you really try to relish. We know that, you know, these runs don't last forever. And obviously there are so many questions and things that can possibly happen with this team this summer. So we want to try to take advantage of this opportunity and make the most of it. And, you know, deal with the things that come after whenever those things arrive. But right now we're focused on the task at hand and try to do something that hasn't been done in a long time.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
There has been a lot of discussion in the Bay Area, Ray, about whether or not the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant. And I would say this. I don't think they're better without Kevin Durant. You can always use Kevin Durant, you know, probably the best player in the NBA right now, but they play differently without Kevin Durant. There's no doubt in some of the players, like Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, they move a little bit better without the ball, I think, when Kevin Durant isn't in there because, you know, KD can go one-on-one. They don't really have to be moving as much. They feel compelled to move around more, I think, without KD, and that just makes them better. I mean, they catch and shoot with the best of them. So what do you think of that whole dynamic? Because that is a discussion that's going on during this series.
Well, there are people who are now saying that KD is the best all-around player in the game, and I'd be inclined to agree with the performance he's had in this postseason. So why wouldn't you want to have the best overall player in the game? I mean, that's a no-brainer to me.
At your disposal, right? Yeah.
At your disposal. I think what it is, yeah, it's a different-looking team with him, and the ball probably does move a little bit better, and it's out of necessity, and guys have to step up and take different roles, and they know that, and I think players have even mentioned, you know, it's a different mindset when you know you have the luxury of Kevin Durant out there. Especially in a half-court set, you know, when you need a bucket, you can get it to him because he can ISO everybody in the world, you know? I mean, so, you know, having that knowledge, sure, maybe you let off the pedal a little bit from time to time. But, you know, and I get into this semantic argument sometimes with fans on Twitter, and I shouldn't. I shouldn't be getting into these stupid arguments, but, you know, I can't resist sometimes. Do they need him? Could they win the finals without him? Sure they could. They probably would be favored. I don't know. Maybe the way the Bucks are going, there are going to be people that favor the Bucks if the Warriors don't have Kevin Durant. But listen, the margin would be so thin. I still say you need him. I mean, he is the ultimate insurance policy. And yeah, it sounds like he's not going to be back for the Western Conference Finals the way things are going, unless it goes six or seven games, and then it's a real 50-50 call. It sounds like they're just getting him primed for the finals, and really, there isn't the urgency yet. They're up 2-0. I don't think this is something they have to think about unless Portland comes back and takes two in Portland. Then you might have to think about it in a week. But as Steve Kerr said last night, the calf injury is a little more serious than they thought, a little more involved with the recovery than they thought. But I also think that's because they don't have the real sense of urgency right now. They're handling things without him. But hell yeah, you need him for the finals. Give me a break. Could they win it without him? Yes, of course they could. The talent is still there. You still have guys with rings on the floor. when you're starting Bogut, you're starting the starting five that won ring in Cleveland 4 years ago. So, I mean, the pedigree is there, the experience is there, and the talent is there. But having KD is a great comforting feeling, too.
More Dubs OT in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro Heating and Air contractors have a solid reputation for having thorough knowledge of residential heating and air conditioning systems, as well as commercial HVAC systems. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. You know, I wonder, Ray, if Steve Kerr makes a lineup change for Game 3 because Andrew Bogut barely played. I mean, I think Kerr realized that he's just not a good matchup with the Blazers, and he had to get other guys in there. Bogut played 3 minutes. And then you think about the stat line combined, Looney and Bell, they combined for 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 of 13 from the field. So you don't really expect that, but Looney's gotten so much better. And this was kind of Jordan Bell's coming out party because, I mean, you know, he's out there, he's doing a little bit of everything, and he just looked like he progressed so much and sort of grew up in this game and even the last couple of games that he's gotten in there.
Well, that's the key. If Jordan Bell can play like that, they don't have to start Bogut. They can start Looney and then go to Bell and then see how that goes. And, you know, this may not be the series for Bogut. And, you know, he's made some contributions for sure since he's come back, and you want him around. And it's nice to know that you can have three centers you can count on, as well as Draymond Green in crunch time. But Jordan Bell, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I didn't at the top. Now, what a contribution he made in game two, with his activity, with blocking shots and rebounding, and you know, just the overall defense that he played, and he was there for a couple of blocks as well. This was the Jordan Bell we were expecting to see for quite a while this season, and it wasn't happening. Of course, he was in the doghouse. He's gone from the doghouse to the penthouse, and that story's been pretty well chronicled. You know, maybe some maturity issues there, and it took something like that to refocus him. And you know, that'll be part of his maturation process. But it's funny the way, you know, the impression he gives people, because a reporter asked him after the game last night about counting on the experience of older players like Looney, and he said, "Well, I'm older than Looney." You know, people, you know, Looney was a one and done player. It just seems like he's been around forever. And to be honest, he looks about as old as LeBron sometimes. So he's got that old soul about him. But I just love Looney's journey. I mean, I remember talking to him in the Vegas Summer League right after he was drafted, and about the concerns about his hip and the possibility of surgery, and that he was just trying to get some work in Las Vegas. Then I talked to him a year later, and, you know, he had rings from the Warriors and from the Santa Cruz Summer League. There weren't a whole lot of guys walking around with two rings in one season. He has to undergo surgery, and it looked like he was, you know, off the radar and might not be with the Warriors if any team had bothered to pick him up. It didn't happen, and that was, you know, sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make, and that turned out to be a great move for the Warriors. He's been so important to them here in the postseason. But Jordan Bell has been in and out. He was a guy I think they were going to count on for more this season. It didn't happen, especially with Damian Jones injured. And they even tried Damian Jones for about 2 minutes last night. That didn't work. That showed you that, you know, they were kind of searching with Andrew Bogut not being effective. But then Bell stepped in, and I think he kind of calmed the waters there for Steve Kerr and Mike Brown and the coaching staff on what they're going to do at the center position going forward. And since I mentioned the Vegas Summer League, Joe, I want to also mention Seth Curry, because we saw him there in, I believe it was 2014, coming out of Duke. He had played a little bit in the NBA, but the player I saw right before that, I wasn't convinced he was going to stick in the NBA. I mean, he was getting a little bit of playing time, but it didn't look like he was going to be any kind of a factor. He opened a lot of eyes that summer in Vegas. It was clear that he had gone out and done some work, not only on the hoops, but on fitness. He seemed quicker, more aggressive, To me, he seemed a little bit slow coming out of Duke University. And then you saw how he played against his brother last night. It was his finest moment as a pro. And you saw the, him cut to the stands and Sonya Curry, Stephen Seth's mom. She was kind of cheering him on. Dad was just grinding it. And Aisha, I don't know if she was 100% on board with mom celebrating, you know, but that's the family difficulties they have, man. I mean, you know, it's a weird occurrence here with the brother against brother in this Western Conference Finals. But good for Steph. I mean, you know, or Seth, I should say. Can't be easy being in Steph Curry's shadow, a two-time MVP, one-time unanimous, three-time champion, and you're just trying to make your way in the league. Well, he found a spot. He found a regular rotational spot, and they almost won the game because of Seth Curry last night.
Oh, yeah, this is a heartwarming story, I think. I mean, you know, not many people expected Seth to do what he did. I mean, he was a plus 13 in that game. He had 16 points. He was hitting some really good shots. He made four threes. And the main thing that was, you know, cool, if you weren't too disturbed as a Warriors fan, was to see how he picked his brother apart a little bit and got some steals. He had four steals on his brother and just made you think about the driveway games and, you know, that he knows Steph's moves, and he was able to steal it. I mean, Steph's going to have to make some adjustments with his brother guarding him during this series. He's going to have to maybe come out with something that his brother hasn't seen, because that is sort of a, you know, a factor in this, just the way Seth was playing defense.
Well, that's the question. What hasn't his brother seen? I mean, if anybody knows Steph's moves, it's Seth from the driveway games going forward. So, and I think that there's a little bit of a mental thing there too. And, you know, I think Seth kind of annoyed Steph a little bit, as little brothers will do. So, I think you put him on him and see what he can do. I think Seth will have an answer eventually, as he does for almost everybody in basketball. But at least one night, you know, Seth had a chance to shine. And, again, going back to his mom, apparently what they were saying pregame was that she had to forego her usual cocktail pregame. She couldn't even do that. She was so nervous. So maybe hashtag cocktails for Sonya next time around. I mean, that's just an incredible dynamic there. And it's one of the things, of course, that makes this series so intriguing. And how refreshing is this, Joe? We're talking about hoops instead of all the gamesmanship and the slug it out grind of the Houston series.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how nobody's complaining about the officiating, or at least not that much, where that was really what was going on in that entire Rockets series. You know, it's different personalities. Lillard, he doesn't complain that much to the officials.
No.
Neither does McCollum. Those two guys are outstanding. I mean, they really are. They're fun to watch. I think Lillard, you know, he didn't have a great first game, and he had no points in the first quarter of game two. He started to get it going, and that's what I think we're going to start to hear from Lillard soon. I think, you know, Blazers, they're going to come out strong in game three, and I think you're going to hear a lot more from Lillard.
Oh, without a doubt. You heard a lot more from him in the second half, and that was one of the troubling points of last night's game. Here the Blazers up 15, and Lillard hasn't done anything, and you knew he was going to get it going, and he did. And they almost won the game because of him as well, and McCollum. And, yeah, those guys don't bark at the officials as much as Houston does. They just hoop, and that you like to see that. And I think you're right. You know, the Blazers, this is their season. They have to come out strong for game three. I think they will. I think that either Lillard or McCollum will have a big game in game three, maybe both. And then, you know, that's what it comes down to. If their guys, if their backcourt is getting it done, they're going to win. Now, they got some good support from other people, other players last night. So that's one of the reasons they were able to take a lead and almost hang on at the end. But it's going to come down to, are those guys going to be making their shots? Are they going to get on a heater like we know Lillard can, like we know McCollum can? But we know the Splash Brothers can do that as well. And they had free reign in the first game, not so much in the second game. It's going to be very interesting to see how they handle this defensively in game three. I thought that Portland did a good job for part of the game last night by pressuring Draymond with the ball, because sometimes he'll come up and he'll get right to the free throw line, and you know, he can throw a lob, he can dish, or he can kick out to an open wing three. I don't know if they're going to continue that. It's very tough for them still, even without Kevin Durant, to defend the Warriors. I think the Warriors are still going to get pretty much what they want in this series, as long as they're hitting their shots and, you know, they're selecting good shots. It's going to come down to whether those two from Portland, the second-best backcourt in the league, whether they get hot. If they do, Portland's going to take a game.
By the way, Portland's got a player that is kind of like an NHL Goonie-type player. You know, you bring in that goon for fighting. Collins, I mean, when he comes in the game, yeah. Look out. I mean, you really have to brace yourself for some of the hard fouls that he throws out there. He had five fouls in 8 minutes, Ray. And, I mean, I think one of them was that one on Bell. Bell went flying a couple times to the floor. I was worried about him that he was going to get his bell rung. But, you know, but Collins is a guy that's kind of dangerous out there physically.
Well, he came into camp after his rookie season, and he looked like a different player. I mean, he was yoked compared to what he was this rookie year. And, he's kind of salty. As we saw last time they were in Portland, and he was barking at Klay Thompson. And I'm thinking, okay, cool. How many rings have you won? What have you done in this league?
I remember that,
compared to Klay Thompson. but, you know, that's part of what I think he needs, that edge he needs to stay in this league. And, he's improved as a player. But, there's some elbows and kneecaps involved there, too. So, you got to be careful around him, and but he's their Dave Schultz, right? If I can make another
there you go,
reference.
The Broad Street Bullies, yeah.
That's Flyers. Right, yeah. He's going to stir things up, without a doubt. And so I think that they don't have a whole lot of guys like that, but he's one of them. And that's just part of his game. They're searching for some help at that position. And Cantor's been, he was okay in the first game, but he's not a huge factor. And they were throwing Myers Leonard out there for some minutes. And he actually played pretty well after his first stint. He made a couple of mistakes. Second time out, he scored 7 points in the second rotation. So they're kind of searching as well at the five. So I think this is a series where, as we were mentioning, the Warriors, looking for different players to make contributions. This is the kind of series where they can experiment a little. This is the kind of series where Steve Kerr can go to strength in numbers and find out who's a working combination. The second unit wasn't as good in game two, but they weren't fatal. I think they ended up being a -3. I think you'd take that. So, the bench story here is I think both these teams are scuffling a little bit. But, having Jordan Bell emerge and make a contribution is huge for the Warriors.
All right, well, we'll see what happens in the next two games in Portland and if the Blazers can make this a compelling series. And we'll talk after that, Ray.
All right, sounds good, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.